Welcome, everyone. Again, this is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise magazine. Tonight, in our Passions of Real Life Legends interview, we'll be interviewing Raymond Aron, and I'll be speaking more about Raymond in just a moment. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, this series is inspired by my partner and the cover editor of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, Janet Atwood's book, The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. And if you've heard us before, you know that each one of you is unique. Each of us has unique gifts and talents which only you can give. Only you can give the gifts that you were blessed with when you came in this world. And when you're not giving them, that you live a less fulfilling life, and those around you live a less fulfilling life as well. And our hope is in this series that you will have the opportunity to connect with people who are inordinately successful in their own fields, in connecting with their passions, and sharing with you the lessons they've learned, how they discovered their passions, and the obstacles that they've overcome. Those of you who are not yet members of our Real Life Legends Club, I encourage you to check it out and become members. When you become a member, you have not only get the recordings and transcripts of every interview that we do, you have also access to the archives of interviews we've done with people like Neil Donald Walsh, Dennis Waitley, Stephen Covey, Dr. John Gray, Jay Abraham, and many more. And to learn more about the Real Life Legends Club, you can go to Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/elite, E-L-I-T-E dot A-S-P. And A-S-P is Apple Sam Paul. So again, Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/elite dot A-S-P. And we're so pleased that now, as of the past month, we have been able to make available to you hard copy versions. That means that when you join the Real Life Legends Club, you'll be getting CDs and transcripts of all the interviews, as well as some bonus interviews that are included with your membership. Also, when you join as an extra bonus, you will receive the Passion Test assessment and a copy of Janet's book, The Passion Test, so that you can go through that process and discover your own passions. Tonight, we are so fortunate to be interviewing a man who is known as Canada's number one business and investment coach. Raymond Aron has mentored tens of thousands of investors and entrepreneurs into achieving considerable wealth in a professional speaking career that has spanned over two decades. In fact, this year he appears on the same venue with Robert Kiyosaki, Tony Robbins, and Donald Trump. And he is also the author of Chicken Soup for the Canadian Soul, as well as Chicken Soup for the Parent Soul, both of them bestsellers. But here's one of the things I love most about Raymond, and I'm sure you'll get this tonight. He is a fascinating combination of opposite values. He graduated as a mathematician and physicist, and he began his academic career by writing a calculus textbook. And at the tender age of 24, that textbook was made compulsory at the University of Toronto and also used at universities around the world. But then he left academia for entrepreneurial pursuits and launched an amazing variety of businesses that included things like manufacturing soft drinks, importing foreign sports cars, being a private eye, operating a chain of women's weight-reducing salons, distributing cosmetics, running a computer consulting firm, teaching calculus, and driving a taxi cab. That was his favorite. So it is our great pleasure and honor to have Raymond Aron with us tonight. And Raymond, thank you for being here tonight.
Well, I'm honored to be here, except that I have to live up to this gigantic introduction you've given me.
Well, we have confidence that you can, and you will.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Raymond, thank you so much. So I'd like to plunge right in, and I would ask, Raymond, would you tell us the story of how you found your passions and how that led you to what you're doing today?
I would like to, and it's an interesting story. I always did well in math through school, so I kept studying it in university. I graduated as a nuclear physicist and got a job with a leading-edge computer consulting firm, and after a year and a half got bored and started a business, and of course you've listed some of them. And then when the business failed, I ran back to math, got a salary job, paid off my debt, started another business. And I had a yo-yo career back and forth. After almost two decades, I'd gone nowhere. I had lots of failed businesses and lots of salary jobs that didn't seem to lead anywhere. I didn't know what to do. And my parents were going to Mexico, and they asked me if I would like to go, and I pay for it. But the real reason is they said to me, look, you need to find yourself, and if you can't find yourself at home, maybe you're in Mexico. And I said, okay, maybe I'm in Mexico. And it turns out they were right. I was in Mexico, and let me tell you the amazing story.
Okay, great.
Okay. I was in the Yucatan Peninsula, and there was a Mayan ruin called Chichen Itza, which is a pyramid. And security now doesn't allow you to go up the pyramid, but in those days I could. I walked up the pyramid, and I stood on the I sat on the top of it, and as it got darker and darker, all the tourists left, and this one tourist came over the horizon, came racing right up to my pyramid, raced right up to the top, and snapped a picture right at the top, just as the last ray was dying behind the horizon. And he sat down and he said, let me tell you my story. And I knew that that's what I've been waiting for all my life. I didn't know how I knew, but I just soaked in every word. And he said, I earned $15,000 as a teller in a bank, and I didn't know what the heck to do with my life, and I saved up my money, and I went on a beautiful trip, and I took 3D photographs and developed this magnificent slideshow with a lot of humor and education, and I could only fit about 6 people into my living room, and so I showed the slideshow, and they all went nuts, and they begged me to invite them next year. Well, it took a few more years before I could raise enough money to go on another exotic trip. Anyways, after 2 or 3 of these slideshows spanning almost a decade, one of his friends said, I'm organizing an event, and I'd like you to be the speaker, and I'll pay you $10 a person. I'm expecting 500 people. That's $5,000. That was a third of his salary. And they had to convince him to do it because he didn't think he was a public speaker. Anyways, he gave the talk. They loved the talk. 2 people in the audience, by coincidence, had their own events that they hired him for. Within a few months, he was a professional speaker. He had engagements booked, and he was earning $500,000 a year doing only what he loved. He says, he turns to me, he says, you know what I do now? All summer I travel to the most wonderful places in the world taking pictures and doing research and creating my next slideshow. And then for the other 3 seasons I travel to the most wonderful places in the world and deliver these fun talks. And
then
packed up, walked down the pyramid, drove away, and I said, what? What's the lesson? I'm supposed to be a photographer? What is it? I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what the lesson was. I'm supposed to be a teacher, a photographer? I'm supposed to do 3D photographs? What is it? And finally I said, you know, I think what I'm supposed to do is only what I love. I said, well, I already love math. I'm already doing math, but I get bored. I said, well, maybe there's something deeper than math. I couldn't figure out what that would be. And finally I said, you know what? I taught for just a few minutes. Honest to God, Chris, a few minutes. Someone asked me to stand up and say something, and I said it, and another person said, wow, I've never heard anything so clear. That was it. That was my whole teaching experience, like 5 minutes. And I said, you know what? I'm a teacher. And I came down from the pyramid, and I said, I am a teacher. And that was 22 years ago, Chris. My life has blossomed. I'm in the who's who. I'm in the international who's who of entrepreneurs. I've done 2 chicken soup books because I got to know Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. I spent a weekend at Dr. John Gray's home at his ranch. I've met the most wonderful people in the world. I personally trained 100,000 people around the world. My life is just an enormous blessing because I made the crazy decision one day that I was going to be a teacher with no teaching certificate, no credentials of any kind, no testimonials, no references. I just said, I'm a teacher, and I loved it so much I wouldn't stop till I was a teacher. And the most important thing I want to say to your listeners, Chris, you still there?
Yeah, please.
Because I'm on my cell phone. I'm not, you know, I just want to make sure that this thing still works.
Thank you.
It didn't make any sense. I wanted to earn a lot of money, and I thought teacher meant high school teacher earning maybe $40,000 a year.
Sure.
And it didn't make any sense to me because I wanted to earn more than that, and I had no credentials as a teacher. It didn't make any sense, but I did it because there was some passion inside me that said, this is it. This is what the message was that man delivered to me at the top of the pyramid, and I've never looked back, and I don't do any business whatsoever unless it has to do with teaching.
Wow, what an amazing story. Thank you, Raymond. That is an amazing story. So, given that experience, and of course, over the last 2 decades, you have interviewed and worked with some of the most famous and successful people in the world, will you share with us, from your perspective, how important is it to know what you're passionate about in order to create wealth?
Let's think about the last day of your life. Let's
okay.
say you're aware, you don't have Alzheimer's, you're aware and you're dying, it's the last day and you're 90 years old. Do you want people going by your deathbed saying, wow, I remember way back in June of 05 where you hit your quota, or, gee, I remember you were on time, or you did your exercise program, or you quit smoking, or, like, you know, you have to think about the things that are important to you, but whether they're actually going to be important to you on your deathbed. And the things that are important to me, and I think the things that are important to your listener on their deathbed, is what they did to help the world, what benefit they provided, what value they created in the world. And you create value only from coming from your love, because each person has a unique set of skills and abilities, and one of the problems that they have in believing it is because they think they don't. They think that Tiger Woods has something unique, and Michael Jordan, and Wayne Gretzky, but they think, oh, I'm just me, I'm just a housewife, I'm just a school teacher, I'm just a teller, I don't have anything unique. But each person does what they do with such specialness, or could do it with such specialness if only they looked for it. And you know, when my daughter was born, just shortly after I became a teacher, I said, my daughter's going to have this knowledge right from the first day of her life. She's not going to wait like I waited. And on the first day, she's 1 day old, she obviously can't speak English, 1 day old, I said to her, Julianne, you have a special talent inside of you, and your mommy and daddy don't know what it is, and your teachers aren't going to know what it is. Only you can tell what it is. And it's your God-given responsibility to find it within you and deliver it to the world. And Chris, I said that to her every single night. When she was about 5 or 6 years old, she would roll her eyes when I came in to kiss her goodnight because she knew what the speech was going to be. But she didn't actually have me stop telling her until she was about 11. And she knows it inside her soul now. When she calls me and tells me ideas that she has, she doesn't say how much money I can make or whether she's got an inside connection that can get her a job. She doesn't talk about that caca. She talks about whether she loves it and what good she can do in the world. And I am so moved by that. I wish every parent could do that with their child.
Absolutely. Well, and I understand now why you wrote a best-selling book called Chicken Soup for the Parent's Soul.
I was quite honored to be asked by Mark and Jack to do that book.
Yeah. Now, many of our listeners and readers say, yeah, okay, great, so passion is important, but I don't know how to go about finding my passions, discovering my passions. Now, your daughter was fortunate because you put that into her every night, so she's from a young age been looking and working to find that. But what advice can you give our listeners about how they can go about discovering their passions?
Well, it just turns out, Chris, that I am the creator of a program called Discovering How to Do What You Love, and I can synopsize it right now and deliver the basic pith of it right here, okay?
Please do.
Okay. If I said to your listener, take a clean sheet of paper and write down what you love, they would not actually succeed in writing down what they love. They would be writing down their social obligations. In other words, if they like one of their siblings but not all of them, they'd have to write down all their siblings just in case one of the siblings happened to see the list and they got embarrassed, right? So, oh, I better put my wife's name before my dog's name, otherwise what if my wife sees it? If you have a list of social obligations, you'll have a very unsatisfying, unfulfilling, empty, shallow life. I have developed a way to actually have a list of your true loves, and it is a way that bypasses your internal voice. And if you don't think you have an internal voice, your internal voice is the thing that just said, I don't have an internal voice. You have an internal voice. And its job is to protect you and keep you safe. Its job is not to inspire you and move you forward and have you get outside of your box. It's just to keep you safe. And if all you want to do is survive and pay the bills and be comfortable, your little voice is fine. But if you want to have an uncensored, real list of your loves, then you have to do the following procedure. You have to have another person, not yourself, another person actually yell at you, what do you love? And then you burst it out, my wife, what do you love? And you have to give not enough time to answer, because as soon as the person who yells it gives you enough time to answer, then your little voice has time to get in, feel, I better say this, better not say that. And just let whatever comes out come out. If you blurt out dancing, don't feel embarrassed because you've never gone dancing or you're klutz at dancing. Just say whatever you say. It doesn't matter. So someone says, what do you love? And you say something, what do you love? What do you love? And interestingly, you can't get more than about 15 before you get flustered. And then once you've said that, which triggers the ideas, you take a clean sheet of paper and you write down the left-hand column all the things that you want to write down, not necessarily everything you said, but the things you want to write down as the things that you love, but make sure you don't censor anything. In the next column, what you do is you subdivide it or categorize it into low, medium, and high priorities. Like, what are your highest loves, your lowest loves? Like, maybe you like reading, but it's not such a big deal. But you absolutely love teaching, so that's like a bigger deal. So you put an H for high beside teaching, and you understand that. And then in the next column, it's a very high bar. What you do is you put a check mark beside those loves that you're currently fully experiencing. Now, fully experiencing doesn't mean that it's ultimate, that it's infinity, that you could never do an ounce more, but it means if you died today, you'd be comfortable and happy and satisfied that you're fully experiencing that love. It's a high bar, but it's not ultimately high. And then the final column is the ones you wish to more fully experience, which is probably everything else. And then what you do, at least in my program, I have a monthly mentor program. In my monthly mentor program, what I do is I instruct my clients, which I home study every month. What they do is they look through their list of loves, they look at the high priority ones that they wish to more fully experience, and they take that and they make a goal out of it. Like, maybe what you love is to read. Well, then darn well make a goal that you're going to choose a book and read it. Or maybe what you love is going for walks. Then choose a friend, call them up, and say, Saturday morning, let's go for a walk in the park. Because if you don't, the years slip by. And you fill your life with the busyness of life, with showering in the morning and commuting to work and meeting your deadlines and coming home, having a beer, watching your favorite rerun of Friends and going to sleep and setting the alarm. And then years have slipped by, and you say, gee, I always loved doing that and haven't done it for years. The way that it doesn't slip by is by identifying what your loves are, categorizing it the way I've said, and writing a goal to actually implement it.
Fabulous. I love how specific you are. Thank you, Raymond. Now, you have said in your work that you believe every single person should own their own business. So we've gone through the process you've outlined. We're clear about what we love. Why is it so important that we should start our own business?
Well, first of all, I don't mean that there aren't any good salaried employees. I honor every salaried employee. I employ lots of them, so I've got nothing to say against them. But I think you should also do either a full-time business or something on the side, and the reason is this. When you apply for a job, to some extent, maybe to a large extent, you're doing what the employer wants. And as the job changes, you are forced to change whether or not you like that change. As an entrepreneur, to a large extent, you create the job. And the changes that occur are the changes you create, the changes you want. And as a result, there's more absenteeism, and every one of your listeners knows this, there's more absenteeism among employees than entrepreneurs. Everybody knows that. And the reason is because you get to do more of what you love as an entrepreneur and less of what you love as an employee, as a general statement. And I want people to do what they love.
Great.
That's my thesis, Chris.
Yeah, well, we want that too. Fabulous. Thank you, Raymond. So here's the challenge. Someone wants to create wealth. They want to follow their passions, but they just don't have a clue how to get started. Even if they say, okay, yeah, I should have my own business, but where do you start, Raymond? How do you figure out how to take the first step?
Well, most people don't know what they love. It's so sad. When I teach people how to identify what they love, there'll always be one person in the audience who just breaks out crying and says things like, I've never asked myself that question. I earn a very good living. I've got a family, 2.5 kids, 1.5 dogs. I've never asked myself, what do I love? I mean, there's these big questions like religion. Doesn't matter what religion is, religion only asks 3 questions. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going next? People don't ask themselves those questions. They're like huge life questions. People don't ask themselves what their mission is for being here. When your life's over, what did you accomplish? You might as well ask now than on the last day. And I am shocked that people are never taught to ask themselves those questions. I was never taught that. I thought that the job of life was to study math and get good marks. I didn't know anything else.
Well, and you were good at that, weren't you?
Identifying what you love and move towards what you love every month. In fact, in my monthly mentor program, I teach people how to take 6 steps towards what they love or 6 steps away from what they don't love each month. So by the end of the 17-month program, everything around them is what they love, and there's nothing around them they don't love, and they've made it. But it's not one step. You don't just say, okay, I love horseback riding, so therefore I'm rich. It's not like that. You have to move towards it. You have to get rid of things you don't love, do more things you do love, and over the months or years, you start moving into that correct arena.
Okay, so Raymond, are you saying then that as we discover and begin aligning our lives with the things that we love, then the path or the direction that will allow us to support ourselves doing that will become clearer? I mean, you decided you were going to be a teacher and a speaker. How did that turn into actually making money doing what you love?
Well, I just kept casting about. I applied for this job. I applied for that job. I asked somebody if I could speak for them for free. I just did everything I could until finally the way clicked in. But yes, according to the law of attraction, which you and Janet are eminently familiar with, the more whatever you put your energy on, that is the parallel universe that you'll pull towards you. And I don't know, maybe that seems too airy-fairy to your listeners, but that's what I believe. And the more you concentrate on what you love and the more you notice what you love, the more you walk around being conscious of what you love, so that if you see a book or a movie or somebody says, oh, let's go to this, and say, oh, yeah, that would work for me. The more you're conscious of it, and the more you keep moving in that direction, the more you'll meet people who are doing that, the more you'll subscribe to those things which will teach you more about it, and the more and more and more you'll make the connections both with other humans and also inside your brain, the synapses will start connecting, so that you'll move in that arena. I mean, why does it take 10 years for a neurosurgeon to become a neurosurgeon? It's not that it's 10 years of book learning. It's rather that the synapses take 10 years to start connecting the right way. There is time required to move you in the right way. And so the sooner you can identify what you love and the more energy you put into it, the more focus you put into it, the more you keep moving in that direction. And it works. And it's not linear, and it's not perfect, and you don't just take one step up. It's more like snakes and ladders, where you go up and slide down and up and slide down, but you get there. And if you want to be comfortable, you'll always be broke. The only people who are comfortable are broke. Everyone thinks that the rich people are comfortable. It's the rich people who are the most uncomfortable, because they are willing to go outside of their box. And so you have to go up and down and up and down. But if you keep relentlessly moving towards what you love and keep thinking of what you love and putting your energies in what you love, you'll find your passion and you'll go there no matter how absurd it seems. Like, people say to me, what do you do? And I say, I help people double their income doing what they love. And then they say to me things like, oh, I love sleeping in, ha, 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 as if to disprove my theory, as if, okay, I give up, you're right, I'm going to resign from life. People have come up with the weirdest things that they love and then started wildly successful businesses doing just that.
Well, but Raymond, forgive me, don't you have to have money in order to start making money doing what you love? I mean, if you're going to start a business and you want to do this entrepreneurial thing and really pursue your passions and what you love, don't you have to have investment capital get started? I mean, it seems like that's one of the big blocks for many people, is that they feel like they know what they love, but they just don't have the funds to start.
Well, let's go through some examples. There are 500,000 people, believe it or not, 500,000 people who make their full-time living as entrepreneurs selling on eBay, and you don't need a penny of capital to get started. There are millions of people around the world, hundreds of millions of people around the world, who buy real estate as their full-time business, and you can buy real estate with nothing down. How? The greatest teacher of real estate that ever lived, Robert G. Allen, wrote a book 30 years ago, Chris, called Nothing Down. It's probably the most famous book title of all time. He didn't keep it a secret. It was the number one bestseller every week for something like 7 years. You can buy real estate with nothing down, as strange as that seems. You can start businesses with nothing down. As a professional speaker, there is no capital needed. You just have someone, you just give enough free speeches till someone likes you enough that they'll pay you.
Well, and I have to, if I may, Raymond, I have to put in also, you know that Janet and I have a business called Enlightened Alliances. And one of the things that we've learned over and over again is perhaps the best way to get started without any capital is to create alliances or relationships with people that can allow you to leverage your gifts with theirs.
Exactly.
Isn't that your experience?
Yes, and so instead of buying it, you partner with them, or joint, not partner in the sense of having a legal partnership, which
right.
has its own legal problems, but a joint venture, a one-shot joint venture, where they lend you their skills and abilities and advantages, and you lend them yours, and together you have far more than each of you had separately. Yes, it's a wonderful way to start.
Yeah, great. So that's a fabulous answer, and at the same time, I know that many of our listeners wonder, how can they possibly do what they love when they have a family to support, they have bills to pay, they have ongoing expenses? I mean, is it really practical to think about doing what you love and owning your own business when you have these responsibilities of daily life?
I don't know, Chris, you must be reading my autobiography, because you are feeding me such delicious questions. I love this question. I've got the most magnificent answer for you. I will not let my clients say this ugly, ugly phrase, and that the phrase is, I love it so much I would do it for free. I hate that. If I hear someone say it, I scream at them.
Mm.
I say the only thing you're allowed to say is, I love it so much it's the only thing I will charge for. People think some, I don't know where this idea came from, that if you love it, therefore you cannot make money at it. But talk to anybody who's created wealth. They will tell you how much they loved the thing that they did. Henry Ford loved what he did. Bill Gates loved it. Everybody who did well loved what they did. This concept that if you love it, you therefore can't make money at it, it's 180 degrees backwards.
So now I know that you're speaking from experience, because you not only have had experience of making millions of dollars yourself and mentoring hundreds of thousands of people, but you have also interviewed and spoken to some incredibly successful people. And I wonder if you would just, one, share the names of some. You've mentioned Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. I know you've interviewed Robert Kiyosaki and Brian Tracy. Maybe there are some others you could. Yeah?
Yeah, the one that you're just about to interview, Stephen Simon.
Stephen Simon.
And the world-famous T. Harv Eker, Mr. John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Kids Are From Hell. I mean, you think of every famous person you can think of, and I've interviewed them, and you know what I noticed?
That's what I want to know, is I want to know what are the secrets that they shared with you, but tell me what you noticed.
Well, I don't pay them. I say, will you give my listener your wisdom for an hour for free? Everybody says yes, everybody. No matter how many millions they earn, no matter how important they think they are, the people who are great on stage because they have so much wisdom can't wait to share it. You were my guest. You and Janet separately were my guests on this interview program. Why did you do it? Because you love what you do so much. And the lessons that I learned are different depending on who I'm interviewing. If I'm interviewing Stephen Simon, I learn about the movie industry. If I'm interviewing Chris and Janet Atwood, I learn about passion. When I'm interviewing Dr. Dennis Waitley, I learn about motivation. So with each different person, I learn something differently. But the overall concept is it moves me upward. I cannot be a victim. I cannot be regretful or resentful. I learn the funniest one-liners. Like an interview I did recently, one of the interviewees said, revenge is drinking poison hoping the other person will die.
That's great. Gosh,
when
isn't
I hear that?
Yeah.
When I hear that, I get so turned on, because the slightest bit of envy or jealousy or resentment that ever comes to me from now on, I say, Raymond, you're drinking poison. Let it go. And even though I don't typically revel in that negativity, still it creeps up like it does for everybody. And when I hear these world-famous people saying wonderful one-liners, it moves me. When I hear their passion, when I experience the failures that they have, one of the most often quoted things that I hear from these people is, you must fail your way to success. Everybody says that. Everyone I speak to, Robert Allen went bankrupt twice. Dan Sullivan, who's one of the most famous coaches in the world, went bankrupt the same week that his wife left him. He said it was a bad week. And so, you know, what I learned is that everybody's had their downfalls, and the people who make it are the ones who have the passion. And when you have the passion, you can produce anything. And it moves me. I remember my plane was delayed, and I had several hundred people wanting to hear a speech. And I went up to the counter at the airport, and I said, I have to get to the city. They said, look, mister, there's 500 people that have to get to that city. I said, no, you don't get it. I have to get to that city. I'm not just booked on an airplane. I have to get there because I love what I do, and there's 500 people who want to hear me. I chartered a helicopter, and I got there. And it didn't matter to me whether my speaker fee was less than the cost of the helicopter. My job was to get there, no matter what. And I got there. I remember, this just happened a few days ago, Chris. You'll love this. I show up in my tracksuit, and my garment bag with my suit in it and shoes don't show up. So I get into the room like 10 minutes before I'm supposed to go on stage dressed like a homeless guy. And I walk up to the registrar at the back and said, you got to help me. And he ran up to his hotel room in the same hotel with me. I wore his shirt, his tie, his sock, his shoes. I came waddling on stage because nothing fit, but they didn't realize it. And I gave my talk. I didn't care. I was going to do it no matter what. That's the passion that I get when I interview these amazing people. And I love that I have thousands of subscribers all over the world who listen to my interviews every single month, because I get turned on by them, and so I enjoy turning others on as well.
Fabulous. So I want you to share and talk a little bit about the three most important secrets you've learned about creating wealth specifically from your interviews with these mega successful guests. Can you?
Okay. My program is called Wealth Creator Source. And the subtitle is, We Mail the World's Most Successful Millionaires to Your Door Every Month. Kind of a funny way of saying it. But here's what I've learned. I've actually covered most of them. Number one, you must do only what you're passionate about, no matter what, no matter how unusual or weird it sounds. You must do only your passion. The second thing that I've learned from every one of them is that you can change. Don't hit me with your victim stuff. Don't tell me, well, my parents were this, and I didn't have that, and I was born with this illness, and, you know, my skin color is this, or I don't have the right native language. Leave it alone. Let it go. Every single famous person had enormous obstacles to overcome. In fact, one person whom I just interviewed, Chris, I was crying during this interview. I was crying. His name is Charles Marcus. When he was young, as a young lad, he stuttered so badly he didn't have a single friend. His parents couldn't stand talking to him because every syllable would be 20 syllables long. It was just so painful. Nobody wanted to speak to him. He set a goal. Chris says, I'm crying now thinking of it. He didn't set a goal to overcome stuttering. He set a goal to be a professional speaker. And he succeeded. And I interviewed him on my Wealth Creator Source program, and you can hear him being careful of every word. And every so often, like maybe every 15 minutes, you'll hear a tiny bit of a stutter, and then he pauses for a moment and keeps going. And I asked him about it, and he says, to this day, he has to listen to every word. He has to be conscious of every word, but it's worth it because he loves what he does so much. Oh, man, there is no way I can feel sorry for myself in any way. I can change. You can change. That's the second thing I learned from interviewing all these wonderful people. And the third thing is the strangest thing. To be wealthy, you must be uncomfortable. Every single wealthy and successful person that I've interviewed tells me how uncomfortable it was either to get started or sometime during their process, how problems came up and how they overcame them. Because if you're comfortable, that means you're inside your box. And if you're inside your box, everything is usual, you know how everything works. The only way to create results that are different from what you currently have is by doing things that you're currently not doing. And to do what you're currently not doing, you have to be doing things that are not inside your box. By definition, everything inside your box is comfortable. Everything outside your box is uncomfortable. Everybody thinks that wealthy people are comfortable, and the truth is a paradox. And here's the paradox. If you do only what's... Broke people are prepared to do only that which is easy, and that's why their life is so tough. And rich people are prepared to do those things that are tough, and that's why their life is so easy. Isn't that an amazing insight?
Absolutely.
And it's very
counterintuitive somehow.
It's counterintuitive, but when you think of it, you realize, yes, it makes more sense than what is intuitive.
Yeah, it does.
And when I hear these one-liners, when I hear how wealthy people have gone bankrupt, but they've come back, and they found their passion, and they go for it no matter what. Stephen Simon, who you mentioned, was the senior executive of a Hollywood production company making movies. He had an Oscar under his belt. He was one of the most famous filmmakers, and he left it. He left Hollywood because it's being run by MBAs and lawyers and accountants, and he wants it to be run with passion. He wanted to take chances, and they didn't want him to take chances. If they didn't have a big name celeb, and it didn't have a sex scene, and it didn't have a chase scene, they didn't want it. And spiritual movies don't have that. He left his gigantic job, and he did only what he loved. I hear this theme over and over again. So the three biggest lessons I learned is do only what your passion is. You can change, and you'd better be uncomfortable if you want to be comfortable.
So does that mean in order to be successful, we seek out discomfort and we consciously work on changing and we are in an ongoing process of discovering our passions? Or how does it work?
I don't look for discomfort.
Oh, good.
What I look for is do my passion. And when I have to do my passion, sometimes it's really uncomfortable. Sometimes I will get sometimes the plane is delayed and I'll have to rent a car and drive 8 hours overnight to get there. And I don't want to do that. You know, but I'm doing it no matter what. Sometimes I will be tired, really tired, and I've got a performance to give. I've got a lecture to give. There are people who've paid to see me, and I don't care that I've stubbed my toe and that I'm really tired and something's gone on wrong in my life. I get up on stage and I do it no matter what. Right now I've got plantar fasciitis. If you know what that is, it's like a nail sticking right in the middle of your heel. It's extremely painful. I can hardly walk. I walk with a limp on both legs until I get this cured. Typically lasts a month or two if you have a chiropractor helping you get through it. But when I'm on stage, I say, Raymond, it's going to be an hour and a half, and I don't care what happens to your heels. When you're on stage, you give everything you got no matter what, because they have the right to get the best that you've got. I'll have my pain after I'm off stage, but when I'm on stage, it's the people in the audience that are the only ones who are important. And so I don't look for the pain. I look for the passion. And I go for the passion no matter what the joy or no matter what the obstacle. Sometimes it's just joy. Sometimes I give a talk and I get a gigantic standing ovation. Hey, that's great. And sometimes I am just dead tired and I give it anyways. What do people do if they're salaried employees and they have a mediocre job that they don't particularly like? What they do is they call in sick.
Right.
Well, can you imagine a Navy SEAL saying, I know it's an important mission that could change the nature of the entire war, but, you know, I got a bit of a sniffle, so why don't we do it tomorrow? Navy SEALs don't do that. People with passion don't do it. Bill Gates doesn't say, I've got this great idea, why don't we meet next year and I'll tell you about it. No. He gets an idea, man, he's got to tell people. So you go for your passion no matter what ensues.
Well, one of the things I'm hearing as you're talking, Raymond, is that when you're passionate, then it becomes a lot easier to move through these obstacles and to move through the discomfort because you feel that fire in your belly that keeps you going no matter what comes up. Is that true?
And maybe it's the only way, Chris.
Mm.
And maybe the disgruntled employees who don't particularly like their job, you know, maybe it's really not their fault if they call in sick, because why the heck should they give everything for something they're really not interested in give everything for?
Right.
And so I don't blame them. I employ them. And that's the best you get. But,
right,
man, you get everything I got in me when I'm... Like, Chris, today is my daughter's fourth birthday. She's having a party right now, and I'm outside in my Hummer talking to you. I said to her, Emma, do you understand there's some people who want to hear Daddy, and Daddy's going to tell them some really fun things, and they're going to really like it. So can I do that, and then I'll come back and give you 100% of my attention? At age 4, she knows what that means. When I come back, I don't take phone calls. I give her everything. And she knows that at her little age.
Oh, that's fabulous. And given that, we're even more grateful for your time. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. So, Raymond, many of our listeners tell us that their biggest obstacles to following their dreams are their own self-doubt and believing that they can really support themselves doing what they love. What advice do you have for them? How do we deal with this self-doubt and this feeling that, you know, I don't know if I can do it?
I think if you have self-doubt, you're justified. I think that if you have self-doubt, you're right. Because Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if they think they can't, they're right. It's self-fulfilling. If they think they can, they can. And the way that I change that and the way that I suggest that your listener changes it is simply by surrounding yourself with new role models. I mean, you can't listen to Stephen Simon and Dr. John Gray and Stephen Covey. You can't listen to Jack Canfield and Robert Allen and Robert Kiyosaki and feel, woe is me. You must be pulled up by them. They shower their positivity and their love and their passion and their joy and their insights and their dazzling one-liners with me. It buoys me up, and I don't have doubts. I could be wrong. I could make mistakes. There could be knowledge I don't have, but I don't doubt. I just go for it. And so if your listener is doubting, they're right. They'll fail. And if they know they can do it, they'll probably succeed. And some people who have self-doubts occasionally succeed, and some people who know for sure they're going to make it fail, of course. But generally speaking, Henry Ford was right, that if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
So the key is, if one's experiencing some self-doubts and yet one is really committed to living a passionate, fully alive life, then what you're saying is surround yourself with people who will help you get to the place of believing in yourself. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. If you're religious, read the Bible. Have a picture of Christ or Moses or somebody's, whatever religion. Mother Teresa or Dalai Lama, have somebody that inspires you. When you come into my office, Chris, you haven't been to my office, when you come to my office, every one of my role models is there's photographs of them, there's paintings of them all around the walls. I walk into my office, I feel like I want to cry, I'm so moved. Let me give you an example. Recently, a lot of my friends were talking about retirement because I'm coming around to that age, and I said to myself, I don't want to retire. Why do I want to play a lousy game of golf when I can inspire people to be better? When I can interview famous people and get moved myself, why would I want to play a lousy game of golf? Anyways, I heard Frank Lloyd Wright interviewed on his 80th birthday. And Frank Lloyd Wright is the greatest modern-day architect. He's done so many incredible buildings. And a reporter on his 80th birthday party said to him, of all the world-famous buildings that you've been the architect for, which is your most important one? And he said, my next one. My next one. He's 80. He already has a name that's like with Rembrandt, like his name is at the top of the world. And it's his next one that's important to him.
Wow. That's fabulous.
And when I heard that, I said, Raymond, you don't need to retire. Not because I'm workaholic. It's not that at all, because I take lots of vacations. It's rather that I now know, I have permission from that one comment, I have permission to continue living my passion for as long as I live. And I bought a limited edition print of Frank Lloyd Wright standing in front of the Guggenheim in New York, which he designed, and that's up on my wall. I look at it, and I thank him every day for that one sentence. Has completely changed my life. I just turned 60. I've decided to live in abundant health till age 120. I've got 60 more years of giving, like I'm giving right now to your listeners.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. And so let's look at another issue that many of our readers and listeners face is they say, okay, many of them have been listening to our interviews. They have been working on getting aligned with the things they love, with their passions. And yet they say, well, there's so many options. There's so many things to do, so many opportunities. How do I stay focused? How do I manage to stay on track in the midst of all the different things that are coming up? And what's
my
answer?
Program, what I teach is that you have to have your list of loves. You come only from your loves. And you also have to have your life mission, so you go only towards your life mission. If you're coming from your loves and going towards your life mission, the path is very narrow. And it's not an airy-fairy thing. I'll tell you what my life mission is. Life mission, you have to understand, is not a goal, because a goal is something you can attain. It's more like the horizon that you can just move towards. Here are my three life missions: great dad, great husband, great teacher. That's it. At the end of my life, I want someone to say, here's how you did on each of those three things. And if I got a good mark on those three things, I did a good lifetime. That's it. That's all I want to be graded on. And I come from my loves, and I like teaching, and I go towards those three things, and that's it. My life is very simple. My partner is a chartered accountant. He and I just started a business, a franchising business. And he said to me, Raymond, what would you like to do in this business? And I said, I'll do only those parts that have to do with teaching. And he said, well, there isn't that much teaching in this job. I said, fine, I'm not going to do much. That's it. Because I only do what I love. That's it. And honest to gosh, as we develop our franchisor business, I'm thinking of more and more ways that I can teach my franchisees and help them set goals and have them subscribe to Wealth Creator Source so they can be buoyed up every single month by all my amazing interviews. All I do is think of ways that I can teach. My partner thinks of how to run the business. I'm not interested in that.
Now, you've talked about goals, and tell us how to go. So you've said these are your three life missions. How do goals fit in, and how does one set goals in some way that they actually are useful as opposed to being somewhere off in the sky and unachievable? How does one use goals in some sort of effective way?
Well, actually, you might want to interview me for a whole hour on that, because I've developed an entire program called the Monthly Mentor, in which I've developed the world's absolute number one, most advanced and most productive and useful form of goal setting and attainment. It's the only program that Jack Canfield uses. The entire Chicken Soup Empire is run on my forms, for example. So we could do that another time, but it's like a gigantic body of knowledge. I don't want to be disrespectful to you by saying I can't answer it in a minute, but I can't.
Well, all right. Fair enough. So
you asked me how to be a dentist in one question.
We'll save that one then. Good.
Okay, good.
So at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. So will you tell us, what is your biggest current project, and what intention would you like us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, along with our readers and listeners, to hold for you?
My biggest intention right now is to do better and better and better interviews with the world's most famous and most loved and most powerful and most amazing people, and to deliver their wisdom as absolutely effectively and non-judgmentally and without censoring, just raw powerhouse information directly from these geniuses to my subscribers. I want to get better and better and better at that and just deliver more and more value. I want people to be blown away every month with the people that I interview, whether they've heard of them or not. Like, recently I interviewed a woman who rowed across the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat, Chris. In a rowboat. She rowed across the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat. I interviewed her because I wanted to know what drives her for 101 days and nights to row across the ocean in a rowboat. Well, no one's ever heard her, although she got the Guinness Book of Records for the oldest person ever to row an ocean, like there's others. And so sometimes the people that I bring to my listeners are very famous, and sometimes what they've done is so outrageous that even though they are not known, their story is so worthwhile.
So thank you for that. We will hold that intention. And will you share with us a little bit about what the people who participate in your Wealth Creator Source program, what do they learn? How does that program, over and above the interviews, are there other things that they learn and gain as a part of that program?
Yes. I demand that the interviewees give us, at the end, their three expert action steps, so that my listener, who has been bombarded with an hour of fascinating ideas and one-liners and passion and interesting commentaries, can say, oh, those are the next three steps. I do step one, then I do step two, then I do step three. It makes it very accessible. So you get this shower of entertainment and wisdom and fun, but then at the end you get your three expert action steps. You can actually do it. It's a CD that I mail to my subscribers all over the world. And, Chris, it's so affordable. It's $29, and that includes all shipping and all handling and all taxes. It's just a super affordable program.
Fabulous. And for any of our listeners who want to learn about that program, then I invite you to go to healthywealthynancywise.com/Raymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, for Raymond Aaron, our guest tonight. Again, Healthy Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/Raymond, and check out this incredible program that Raymond does. And Raymond, would you just talk to us about a couple of your favorite interviews and what were the highlights of those interviews, to give us a taste of the kinds of things? You mentioned the woman who went around the world with across the Atlantic Ocean.
Uh-huh. Yes. The woman who wrote Across the Atlantic Ocean. I've interviewed two wonderful people, Chris and Janet Atwood. let me tell you this story. I don't know if you've heard of this confection called the Fuddruckers. It's just kind of a funny little confection. And these kids just started it just out of their basement. And it's a really delicious little confection. And they wanted to publicize it. They didn't know exactly how, so they went to a trade show of Dairy Queen. That's what it is. They went to a trade show of Dairy Queen, and there is a contest where the individual franchisees can bid for one day of the president's life, and they come to that franchisee's city and do some kind of promotion. Well, what these kids did is they bid on one day of the president's life, and all they wanted them to do was fly to their hometown and taste some of their candy. And the president loved it so much, he made it a part of the Dairy Queen menu in 6,000 Dairy Queen outlets around the world. They're just so fun-loving, and they just were following their passion so much, they just came up with wild, fun ideas. So I learned that 22-year-old kids living just south of the Arctic Circle can do wild and crazy things. And I learned some of the most famous and loved people in the world, like Robert G. Allen, went bankrupt twice. I learned such insights from these people, but they all talk with such passion. And, Chris, when I hear people out on the street, like when I just overhear people talking, how are you? Oh, not bad. How are you? Oh, I could do better. And I say, excuse me, to myself, I don't want to interview you. I don't want you anywhere near my clients. I don't want anyone saying anywhere near me, don't work too hard or take it easy. No, I want to be surrounded by people with passion. That's what I learn over and over again. Maybe it's a simple lesson, but I remember somebody heckling the world-famous Zig Ziglar, one of the greatest motivational speakers of all time, heckled him and said, positive mental attitude is just empty. It wears off. And Zig Ziglar stared at him and said, so does showering. Doesn't mean you don't do it. It means you do it every day. And I said, yeah, man, I'm not going to, just because I know that positivity and being uplifted by powerful people might wear off, doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. It means I'm going to keep doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have shared some great pearls with us, and And I know, and you shared some fabulous stories in terms of the people who you interview. And again, I encourage our listeners to go to healthywealthyandwise.com/Raymond and just read through some of the highlights of the interviews that Raymond does and what the Wealth Creator Source provides. I think you'll find it quite an amazing program and something that will help each of you move closer to discovering and living your own passions. Raymond, thank you so much for being with us tonight, and I would like to ask you, what single idea would you like to leave our listeners with this evening before we close?
Can I tell you a 2-minute story, or do we don't have time?
You can tell us a 5-minute story if you want. Minutes is fine, yes.
Okay, here we go. A little boy says, "Karate, Dad, karate. I want to learn karate." The father says, okay, and as they're driving to a karate studio, they get into such a serious car accident that the boy has to be hospitalized, and in fact, they had to amputate his left arm in order to save his life. On the very sad and quiet ride home from the hospital, the boy said, "Karate, Dad, karate." And the father says, "You don't understand, son. Your life is different. You have to give up those dreams now." "No, you promised, Dad, you promised. Karate, you promised." So reluctantly, the father took him to a couple dojos, and as the father expected, the masters there said, "No, we can't take your son. We can't teach somebody with no left arm." So eventually, when the kid kept persisting, the father took the boy to a master, a private master, someone who was known as a real wise person in the ways of karate. And the karate master said, "I will take you on, but you must do what I say." Well, the kid said, "Fine, I don't mind." And the first day, the master taught him a certain move, and the kid learned it. In the next class, the master taught him the same move, so the kid learned it, hopefully better. The third class, the master taught him the same move. Finally, after several classes like this, the boy became exasperated and said, "Look, I've lost my left arm, but I'm not stupid. I've learned this move already." And the master said, "Do what I say." And the kid just kept doing it. Finally, one day, the master shocked him by saying, "I've signed you up for a competition on Saturday." The kid didn't think he was ready. When he walked in on Saturday morning to the gymnasium, all the parents were shocked into silence, because they'd never seen this boy in any competition before, and they'd never seen any boy with no left arm in any competition in karate anywhere in the world. They were even more shocked when he won his first match, and they were more shocked when he won his second match. He was in the semifinals, and his master leaned over and whispered in his ear, "Bide your time." Kid said, "I have to bide my time. I only know one move." And he did bide his time, and he did win that match, and he got into the gold medal final, and he won against a bigger, taller, more wiry lad. And at the celebratory banquet that night, the boy leaned over to his master and said, "How'd I do it?" And the master said, "I only taught you one move, but it's the toughest move in all of karate, and it only has one defense: grab the left arm."
Wow.
And that lesson, that story, has moved me so much, because everybody knows that a kid at a young age losing a left arm is terrible. The father knew it. The people running the dojos that the father took the kid to knew it. And yet this one wise man said, "You know what? Losing a left arm is losing a left arm. It's not necessarily good or bad. That's just the evaluation you put on it." And so the lesson that I would like to leave is, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever you think your strengths or weaknesses are, whatever you are positive your weaknesses and disadvantages and disabilities are, it doesn't mean it's so. That's just the evaluation you put on it. And just like that kid, it's only because he had no left arm that he won. It's only because Terry Fox had cancer that he's raised $150 million for cancer research and become so famous. It's only because it's only because Charles Marcus had a stuttering disability that he's now such a famous professional speaker. He likely wouldn't have been otherwise. And so that's the message I leave. Keep surrounding yourself with people, with the Wealth Creator Source if you want to do that, or with people you know who shower you with upliftment wherever you go and help you see whatever you've got as a possible benefit and advantage.
Well, thank you, Raymond. What an incredible story. And also just an incredible message. You have been delightful to be with once again, and we so deeply appreciate you sharing your wisdom and insights. Thank you for taking the time. And particularly, will you please thank your 4-year-old daughter for sharing you with us tonight?
I will, and you thank Janet for for sharing you with me and all of your listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So again, I want to tell all of our listeners, do go and check out the Wealth Creator Source at healthywealthyandwise.com/Raymond. You'll get to read about the incredible interviews that Raymond does and see.
Actually hear excerpts of some of the interviews.
Fabulous. So you can hear excerpts of some of the interviews when you go there. So be sure and do that. Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N as in Nancy, wise.com/Raymond. And for our listeners, in our upcoming weeks, on July 5th, we'll be interviewing David Lynch, as I mentioned at the beginning of this call, the director of Mulholland Drive, The Elephant Man, Twin Peaks, just an absolutely out-of-the-box, multiple-time Golden Globe winner, Academy Award-nominated director. And David Lynch is someone who is just like that boy in the story that Raymond told. He's a man who has completely lived outside of the box in his life and yet has achieved incredible success and is revered in Hollywood in the movie industry for his unique and special thinking. And for those of you who feel like somehow you just don't fit in, you absolutely have to listen to that interview. In late July, we'll be going back to wealth and be interviewing Stephen Pearce, who made his name in commodities and then was so successful in using the Internet to market his products and services that he has become a legend in Internet marketing in his own right. Then in August, the beginning of August, Stephen Simon will be our co-host and will be bringing us a couple of his Academy Award-winning writer and director friends who will be interviewing about their passions and what that's meant to them. And then at the end of August, Ricky Byers Beckwith, the co-founder of Agape International Spiritual Center and an incredible musician-songwriter, will be with us. Agape International Spiritual Center today has over 10,000 members and reaches out to people all around the world with a message of hope and a deep, profound quality of spirituality. And then in the beginning of September, we have Byron Katie, the author of Loving What Is, and her latest book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? Byron Katie's work has been has had a huge impact on Janet and I and the work that we do, as well as thousands and thousands of people all around the world. She is an incredible woman, absolutely out of the box, and you will want to be there in September because Katie is a woman who, as she describes it, over 7 years went into a deep depression, lived in a halfway house for people. She grew up to over 200 pounds in weight, was addicted to prescribed drugs that she was given, was smoking, was just living a terrible life. She, in the last part of those 7 years, she couldn't come out of her room because she was so depressed and unhappy, and she was known for her anger. At the halfway house for overeaters where she was living, they put her up in the attic because the people who were there couldn't stand to be around her because she would rage so much. And then one day she tells the story that she woke up and she looked and saw a cockroach crawling across her foot. She was sleeping on the floor because she didn't feel she was worthwhile enough to be sleeping in a bed. And her experience of the cockroach was, oh my God, myself. This is myself. And through the process of waking up, she experienced a whole different reality of life. She saw these four questions, beginning with, is it true, that she'll talk about in September, and her whole experience of life completely transformed. So I so look forward to and am so excited about allowing you all to hear her story and in particular to experience the work, this incredible process of investigation, which is really a path to freedom and a way of moving through any kind of obstacle that may come up in one's life. With that, I'm going to open up the lines and say goodnight, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Chris. It was great.